Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Not only were cattle useful for practical reasons, for example, as a source of milk or as a way of measuring the ideal width of a trench, they also performed combat roles and were central to the outcome of the war.
From 1964 to 1966, Johnny and the Apologies charted over 7 number one hits throughout South America, with songs like Mr. Prime Minister, Aurora Borealis, and Prairie Surprise.
This horrible war and this time really pushed forward the evolution of the drum set and took it to a new place.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of 3 podcasts today, 2 national and 1 locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. Well, you probably know, if you know anything about podcasts, there's a podcast for nearly everything you can imagine. Our first feature this week is one such podcast. From Maximum Fun comes the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, a show for all your beef and dairy needs. In this British podcast award-winning comedy podcast, host Benjamin Partridge sends up the niche podcast genre with surreal humor, hilarious guest, quote, experts, and bizarre deadpan that'll fool you into thinking you're actually listening to a podcast about beef and dairy. Partridge and his guests perfectly capture the odd quirks over specific details, the insular, no explanation discussions of niche hobby podcasters. The satire influences even the ads, which sells listeners on items that even dairy farmers and cattle ranchers would find too specific for their needs. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast will have you laughing out loud whenever you listen, so be ready to explain yourself when your friends and family ask what you're listening to. From this sample, a recent episode of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast titled Professor James Harcum, Benjamin welcomes fictitious military historian James Harcum, who joins the show to discuss his hilariously specific special interest of the contribution of cows in the history of war.
The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is sponsored by Bove Shield Plunge, the new antimicrobial cattle dip from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. As well as being a leading cattle dip, we're proud to announce that from this month, Bove Shield Plunge will be used by American military scientists to decontaminate old nuclear testing sites. Good luck, science dweebs! For 10% off your next delivery over 1,000 tons, run towards the blast.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the podcast companion to the Beef and Dairy Network website and a printed magazine brought to you by Bove Shield Plunge. This month, I travel to one of the country's great seats of learning, Portsmouth, to speak to Professor James Harcum. His book, Fallen Beef, The Hidden History of Cattle in Warfare, is being republished this year to coincide with the 100th anniversary of 1918 and make sensational claims about the number of beef animals involved in historic conflicts, especially during World War I. It is his contention that not only were cattle useful for practical reasons, for example as a source of milk or as a way of measuring the ideal width of a trench, they also performed combat roles and were central to the outcome of the war. I started by telling Professor Harcum just how much I'd enjoyed reading the book.
I read it on the train down, and it's a real page turner.
It is, yes. I mean, it's a bit of a rip roaring. It's a bit of a boy's own adventure, I think. I mean, the book itself took a number of years to research, and sources aren't always clear about the use of cattle in warfare. But they're there. They're gloriously, beautifully there. They're always there for you to see in the stories. I think what I wanted was for people to kind of engage with those stories of individual cows, bulls in the First World War, bullocks, some of them. I mean, calves as young as 3 months were serving on the front line. It was horrible. These were active serving cattle. These were combat cattle. They knew they had a job to do, and they were willing to do it. They were willing to go out there to serve, to milk, and to die for their country, which is something that I think many of us have forgotten.
Well, that's a good point, because I was reading this book, and my mouth was agape, because, as you know, I'm very engaged with the world of cattle in general, much more than your average man on the street. And yet I hadn't heard any of the stories that were in your book. And it was just quite a strange experience, really, to be reading about these great moments of history in British history and international history as well. And I just had no idea that the cows were involved.
This is it. Well, I think, I mean, please forgive me. I don't want to get onto my high cow, as it were. But there has been something of a horse washing of history. Going back even to ancient times, cattle are there. We're told that the Trojan horse was indeed a horse, that it was clearly a Trojan cow filled with other smaller cattle.
So it's your contention that the Trojan horse was a big wooden cow?
Absolutely.
But you're also saying that instead of it being filled with men, as we would think of it, warrior men, it was actually filled with cows as well, which is a step further again.
I think it's obvious. I mean, the use of cattle in warfare is long-standing.
You mentioned the phrase horse washing, and that's a big part of your book. You accuse various people throughout history of horse washing, not just modern historians. Why is it horses that are thought of as the animal of war, when, if you're what you're saying is correct, cows have put in a much stronger shift over the years?
It's horse washing, plain and simple. The horse historians have got on board. It's become very trendy, very fashionable to attribute everything in history to horses. What we have to bear in mind is that there were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Really?
Absolutely.
A snippet from the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from Maximum Fun. Get in the loop on the complicated and dramatic world of cattle farming and dairy herds with the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. Ready for you to listen on WVXU's Podcast Central. We continue our satirical theme this week with our new addition to the Podcast Central Library, in the crosshairs this time, Public Radio, with their hilarious award-winning radio show turned podcast, This Is That. Hosts Pat Kelly and Peter Odering don't just talk about the Canadian issues, they fabricate them. Nothing's off the limits for Pat and Peter. Science, politics, business, culture, religion. If it's relevant to Canadians, they'll find out this and the that of every story. This podcast isn't just for Canadians, though. This Is That also covers world affairs just as unreliably as they cover Canadian affairs. It's 100% improvised, 100% ridiculous, and 100% funny. Take a listen to the sample episode of This Is That, which takes a look at a made-up band named Johnny and the Apologies. It's a rock group that was supposedly bigger than the Beatles in the 60s, but only in South America. Pat and Peter are here to fill you in on one of the biggest bands you've never heard of.
The year was 1964. Lester B. Pearson was the Prime Minister.
Do what we can for the good of our country.
The miniskirt was all the rage in Brampton.
That's quite a pattern, you know. You don't.
Yes, isn't it wild? Ladies.
And the British invasion had just hit North America.
Paul McCartney.
You want to marry Paul when you grow up?
Yeah.
But in South America, another kind of musical invasion was taking place. The Canadian invasion. Bands like the Young Street Strollers, Nick and the Friction, and the Hippos were topping the charts in Latin America.
In many years reporting the Canadian scene, I've never observed anything quite like this.
But the most successful band of them all was a four-piece from Regina, Saskatchewan, Johnny and the Apologies. From 1964 to 1966, Johnny and the Apologies charted over 7 number one hits throughout South America. with songs like Mr. Prime Minister, Aurora Borealis, and Prairie Surprise. South American promoter Jorge Carenza.
There was a period in life for us, for everyone, where there was nothing but Johnny everywhere, in the airwaves, in the shops, in every studio. Everyone was listening to Johnny, even at work. Even the lawyers in their suits were listening to Johnny secretly in their house.
Now, a lot of the songs were distinctly Canadian, but yet they spoke to the people of Latin America.
Yes, well, mainly one of the things that is important to say is that nobody understood the lyrics initially. You know, Prime Minister Aurora Borealis, we think Aurora Borealis was, you know, maybe some sort of animal that anyone has. No, that doesn't matter. It was the music that brought us together. Aurora Borealis,
she's gone. Aurora Borealis. To honor the 50th anniversary of the band's original sold-out tour of South America, original promoter Jorge Carenza has organized a reunion concert in Caracas, Venezuela.
How you doing? Very good to see you, bro.
Meanwhile, in a small rented rehearsal hall in Regina's rough East End, the three original members of the band get together for their first rehearsal in a very long time.
I don't know if I'll be able to hit any of those high notes anymore.
My name's Dave Toner, and I play bass, and I'm also the singer as well.
Well, for the last 35 years, I've had my own car dealership here in Regina, Toner Toyota. So that's what I've been doing.
My name's Dougie Williams, and I play lead guitar and sing. I had been working teaching at a technical college, but then when we sold the family farm, it was a huge piece of property, so I've been fortunately able to kind of step back and retire and just enjoy spending time with my grandkid.
My name's Carl Shoes, and I play the drums. My father was a mailman, and I followed along in the footsteps, and I still do it. I love working for Canada Post.
The original fourth member of the band was Brian Potts. Brian was our keyboardist. You know, at the end of our band's career, he just simply said, "I'm staying."
He's a great guy, but, you know, he just took to the lifestyle.
If any of us was going to do something on the wild side, it was going to be Bri.
Yeah, we never really heard from him again. He got involved in all that stuff. And,
yeah, it could have been that.
Yeah, yeah.
He, you know set up shop in, yeah. Well, we think in Colombia, but yeah. The truth is we don't know. Mr. Prime Minister, I'm
coming to Ottawa. I'd like to take your daughter. A snippet from This Is That from the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. Get filled in on not always true, but always funny current affairs with the help of This Is That, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Though our local feature this week doesn't boast biting satire or hilarious premises, it's still a great listen. It's called the Drum History Podcast, and with the help of host and Cincinnati-based drummer Bart Vandesee, you'll hear about the history of one of the most important instruments that transcends nearly every genre of music. From leatherskin beatmakers to the complicated 15 drum kits that we know today, join Bart and his expert guests as they trace the history of this beloved, ever-evolving instrument. Whether you're John Bonham, Ringo Starr, an aspiring drumming star, or just plain interested in drums, the Drum History Podcast is the perfect place to start. And so let's start here with a sample of drum history titled No Metal, No Problem. In the episode, Bart's joined by Joey Meckler, also known as Joey Boom. Joey is the leading authority on World War II-era drums and spends much of his time teaching about these drums at drum shows and restoring them to modern standards. In this clip, the guys talk about how the metal rationing of World War II led to some of the most important innovations in drum set technology.
It's safe to say that in this time, they are having enormous, it's very progressive. Like, it's obviously a time where you have to dial back and you're using wooden lugs and wooden parts, but it seems like a lot is changing and a lot is evolving in this time of World War II. So it sounds bad, but we talked about it on the phone when we spoke last week about this horrible war and this time really pushed forward the evolution of the drum set and took it to a new place.
If, you know, there's a majority of the time, I have stuff that I do play I have stuff that's predominantly on display so that what you're hearing right now is if you roll up on my booth in any one of the drum shows, I will have this conversation with whoever exactly what we're talking about. And man, after I set the booth up and I get it all set up, and I do this four times a year at each of the four drum shows, I then turn and I look at it all together collectively. And each time it just is, I look at it and go, oh my God, this stuff is incredible. And when people roll up, and I'm not saying this to blow my own horn or, you know, because it's not about me. It's about the instruments. This is why I do this. And people roll up, and when they see it all together and all the different companies, they kind of just stare at it and go, this is fascinating. What's happening here? And I'm like, come on in. Let's swim, man. The water's fine. And as a result of this incredible conflict and just amazingly awful atrocities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it spawned a very small time period of some of the most beautiful and innovative percussion instruments ever. Are they worth big money? As we spoke earlier, Slingle and Rolling Bombers, yeah. The rest of them, because people just don't understand them, you know, they will appreciate it beyond belief, but a very small margin of people will actually desire to own them. And then an even smaller group of people are the idiots like myself who wish to collect, repair, and restore them.
A sample of the Drum History Podcast with Bart Vanderzee, our local feature today. Learn more about the curious history of one of the most popular instruments with drum history, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's chart time, our weekly look at what's hot on the Apple Podcast charts via iTunescharts.net. Well, while Bagman and Believed have been occupying the top spots on the charts for the past month, a new podcast has started to crack the top. It's called Villains. It's from Ringer, and it's an 8-part podcast dedicated to breaking down ins and outs of Hollywood's greatest bad guys. Each episode is about a different villain from a specific kind of movie. For example, there's an episode about a high school movie villain, an episode about a superhero movie villain, and one about a villain from a psychological thriller movie. That's Villains, breaking into the top spot on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources. NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.